All right, if you've got your Bibles open, Ephesians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, it will be behind me. There will be no points on the board. There will be no smiley faces. There will be no anything, just some text. Mainly, I don't want you to have to look around and goof off today. I would rather you focus in. Now, I said several weeks back, I'm going to start preaching messages. I'm not going to preach the Romans Roads every week, how to be saved. I'm going to talk about what the gospel is, the images of the gospel. Meaning, what does Christ do for us? This morning, we're going to focus on one of my favorite subjects. I have not experienced it, though we do have it in my family. I have a niece that has adopted children. We're going to talk about being adopted into God's family. Let's stand, please. If you don't memorize Scripture or never have, today would be the day to begin. The most important verse in the book of Ephesians is verse 3. It's one of the most theologically important verses in all of Scripture because you'll understand my theology, how I preach, how I don't preach, if you understand this verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath... Past tense, it's not something you're trying to earn, it's not something you're trying to pay for, it's not something you're trying to attain. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, meaning we're not looking for secondary, thirdary, we're not looking for something after Christ. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in what? In Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us, this will be our text this morning, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption. We'll come to redemption in future weeks. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. This morning will be verse 5. I'm looking at the broad subject of our great salvation, and the title of this specific message is Adopted into the Family. We're going to talk about being adopted into the family. I want to add at least one idea to every Christian in this room, and I'll tell you when we get there. But I'm going to give you a preview now. Many people, when they come to this church, say, this church is a taste of heaven. It's what heaven's going to look like. I'm going to say something that is so obvious, I'm going to be curious why we haven't seen it before in the message. And it's every bit as good as what I just said. This church is a taste of heaven. Now, I learned this week, if you have emotions, you're not qualified to be a Supreme Court justice. I have emotions. I've already got my Kleenex ready. I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry. When I was 30, I couldn't have no emotions. My name was Anders Haas, cool as a cucumber. Now that I'm older, I'm more like Nicole Haas. Yeah. Oh, I see marital counseling in the future. I didn't say I was that bad, Dave. It's all right to have emotions, friend. And I think maybe some of you might actually feel some true godly affections this morning, I trust. Father, thank you for this great text. It's one of the facets of salvation. It's one of the ways you use of describing what we have in Christ, adoption. Very specific language, adoption of sons, to be exact. Lord, help me to be able to convey these very, very simple ideas and truths. And help us to be stirred up. At minimum, we should rejoice in that you have adopted us into your family. But how much more do we want to see others come to Christ and become part of the greatest family of all? Bless our time now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My family, I'm not talking about Jenny and I and John and Amy. I'm talking about my mom, my dad, my brother, and my two sisters. Certainly, we're never a perfect family. My dad is, of course, gone, and the people I spend the most time with in that family is my mom and my two sisters. And neither one of my sisters are perfect, and they don't think I'm perfect either. But there's one thing we have, if you're around us 5 minutes, is we have a great sense of humor with each other. It is just constant humor. Not the pick-on-you humor or put-down humor, just goofy humor. And some of it is ridiculous. We were driving last week on a Friday, and I was driving, and my mother was seated beside me, and my wife was behind her, and my older sister was behind me. And I don't know what the conversation was, but my mom said to my sister, she said something about some medication my sister had had. And it was pain medication, and it didn't work for my sister. And I said, Mom, I know the reason why the pain medication didn't work. They gave her medication for pain. They should have given her medication for being a pain. Oh, my mother even thought that was funny. She laughed, and my sister, she laughed because she gets me too. It's constant. Now, my favorite joke, and Amy, I don't know if you've ever heard this joke. I do it with my little sister every time I talk to her, just about. I'll say this. Amy, see, Shirley, my little sister. Shirley, you do know that I'm the only one in the family. You do know that Rita was changed at birth, and you're adopted. Well, that starts, by the way, you know why my sister was changed? Did you hear why the sister was changed at birth? Are you listening? One day you'll have a baby, so you got to get this philosophy. The wife was about to bring the baby home. The husband comes to pick the baby up. And the wife. And the wife says to the husband, honey, before we leave, you need to change the baby. 23 years later, that baby did a DNA test and found out, I'm not from this family. And the wife goes, what? And the husband said, you told me to change the baby before we went home. Are you listening? So I always tell my sister, Rita, you were changed at birth, and Shirley, you were adopted. Is it true? All you got to do is get around us, and you know we're brother and sister, that's for sure. We have many bad habits in common, especially, well, I won't say. I always say this too, so Amy already knows this. How is it that I have a sister that was exchanged at birth, and another sister that was adopted, and my daughter is just like both of them? That is not right. So if you want to know where she got bossiness from, meet my sisters. You will know. Now, this morning, we're going to talk about adoption. And I'm going to dive into this, friend. Please look at me. We are not going to play around. We're going to look at all the words you try to run from in the Bible. You know those? Predestinate. We're going to look at them all. Thank you. So we look at this text, adoption. This is a New Testament concept, not found much in the Old Testament. And it's very specifically from the Greco-Roman world, meaning from the New Testament time period. They were big on that, and we'll talk about that later. So as we read Ephesians 1 verse 5, which should be behind me, it says this, having predestinated us, God having predestinated us unto the adoption, the King James says, of children, it should be of sons. We'll come to that later. By Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So we begin with this. Number one, we're going to begin with that word predestinate. And I'll get to the point in a moment. When you say the word predestinate in some Baptist churches, you have fear, panic, hate, name-calling, anger. But in our church, we're not going to do any of those. We're actually going to read the text and say what the text says, which is this. Number one, God himself chose to adopt us. When it's talking about predestination, before we made any decisions to trust Christ, God himself chose to adopt us. Now, I'm going to say this again. Are you ready? Are you ready? This is the most simple thing I can ever say to you. You do not adopt yourself. May I say that again? You do not adopt yourself. Somebody chooses to adopt you. That's the language of the text. That's all it's saying. You don't choose to adopt God. God. Sparky, have you been adopted? Let me ask you, and I don't know the age. How old were you when you were adopted? Do you kind of remember the adoption? You do not. So why did your mom and dad adopt you? They're white people from Michigan. Did you pay them? Did you go to your mom and dad, write them a letter and say, you are going to adopt me? Oh, by the way, Sparky, most people in this room don't know this. Your dad and mom adopted how many more? And where are the other kids from? African American from Flint, Michigan? Jamaican? So what's wrong with your parents, white people? I'm going to say more about that in a moment. This is not the only case in this church. God himself chose to adopt us. That's what that word predestinated means. Now, I have no personal knowledge of adoption. Even though I love to pick on my sisters, trust me, we are all from mom and dad. It's pretty obvious. I sometimes wonder about the brother, but yeah, he is. And he probably wonders about me, I'm sure. But I have read, and I'm going to say this to you, please listen. I have read about children in orphanages. Sparky was adopted at age 2. You do know that's getting old. Most people want to adopt what? A baby. They don't mind if you're 1, but very few people. And I have read of children that are 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And people come and they look at the kids. And they're back in the corner and they know, I'm too old. Nobody is ever going to look at me. Listen, maybe they're the wrong color. To find out that a white family adopted 2 black and 2 from Korea, that's ridiculous. Because some people only want people that look like them. Or maybe this would be my case. I don't mind picking on myself. I have a big head. Thank you. First time Nancy didn't say it. Now the body's caught up with the big head. Everything's big. I'm going to say this, folks. I had this big a head when I was a little kid. That might not bother you, but I remember getting stuff that pulled over your head and I could never get it on. What if I was in that adoption line and somebody saw the big-headed kid and they're looking for the perfect, beautiful little kid and you're not that kid? God chooses to adopt us. They're no longer here. The two hardest working people I've ever met outside of Christie, Jean Losey, Joyce Losey. Mrs. Losey told me a story. And I'm a very honest person, so if you prefer lying, you go to another church, okay? Mrs. Losey was well known for hard work, detailed work, negativity, criticism, hard-headed, and gossip. Sadly, some people never saw the other side of Joyce Losey. When somebody was in need, loving, generous, giving, caring, beyond most anyone I've ever met. Mrs. Losey always wanted to have a big group of kids. She had a son named Don, another son named Gary. She had Jan, and then she had Cheryl, and then she had a fifth child that died. I'm not sure if it was stillborn. I'm not sure of the details. She never really talked a lot about the details to me. But she wanted more children, a couple more children. And when her child, are you listening? When her child died, her doctor came to her and said this, "I think I know where you can get another child or two." Now, this was the woman sitting over here, hard-headed, negative as anybody I've ever met. I've only met one other gossip in this church that's in her category. But that doctor said this to her, "If you're okay, doctor said, I know where you can get another child or two if you're okay with a mixed race baby." This is the 1960s. Joy said, "No problem." So Joyce Losey and Jean Losey, look at me in the eyes. They chose to adopt two mixed race children in America in the 1960s. Who does the choosing? You can have whatever kind of Christianity you want, friend. I wonder once sometimes why some people are saved and some people aren't. God looks at you. There's nothing special about you. But I always look back to Joyce Losey thinking, you mean she was willing to take a little boy, half black, half white, bring him into their home, feed, clothe, rear, love, and all those things. You've heard this before if you've been awake. Not long before she died, the youngest boy, Mark, and Mark is the hardest working fool I've ever been around. He's a little bitty guy, half black, half white. He wrote his mother a letter. He said this, he said, "I'm in Portland working for Nike for a couple of days. They always say they're blown away by how much I get done for them. He says, I'm always happy to tell them it's because I was adopted by the best family that taught me, I can't read, with great beliefs, an incredible work ethic. I don't know if I ever told you that before, but there's no way I would ever be where I am now had not I become a Losey." Now, for you in this room, the Bible is scary to you. You don't adopt God, He adopts you. I would never adopt some people in this room, including the person you're looking at. Why? Special? But Joyce Losey and Jean At the heart of the matter, the love of Christ came through them to two boys. They've had a lot of problems with one of those boys. And one of those boys has been stellar. Hey, they were here a month or two back. They sat right over here. They're her cousins. I call them my cousins. Mike and his wife couldn't have children. They adopted a young man. They call his name Corbin. Now, Corbin is used in a bad context, but the word is Aramaic. It's a good word. It means gift. That's their oldest son. Oh, wait a minute. That couple over here, white couple, my wife's cousins, they also adopted mixed-race boys. They have two twins, half black and half white. By the way, looks like what God does. Looks like what God does. I said something at the beginning of this. Many people come here and say, Lake County Baptist Church looks like heaven. It's a taste of heaven. Are you listening to me? Yes or no? Yes, it also looks like an adopted family. There's nobody born in God's family. Everybody is adopted. Everybody. So when you leave here this morning, if you can't listen and think, that's fine. But you should at least know one thing. How do we know we're believers? Because this looks like a family that's been adopted, which is exactly what the Bible says. God looked at you, my friend, and chose to save you and make you his child. Adopted. Well, there's a second concept. I better move on. I'll never get done. Number two. Look back at Ephesians 1, verse 5. And Christy, I'm not going to use the Romans passage. We're going to use the Galatians right after this one. Ephesians 5 says this also. He says, having predestinated us, and the King James in this particular text says, unto the adoption of children. The adoption of children. That is okay, except there's something that's very technically being said here. The Greek word has the word not child, techna, but son in it. And there's a reason why, because we're not just adopted. God doesn't just choose to adopt us. God chooses to adopt us as sons. And some of you are going to say, why? What difference does that make? Galatians, please, Christy, if you can find that for me. Galatians will give you a hint. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made or born of a woman, born under the law. For what purpose? We're back to redemption again. To redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive, properly translated, same word, the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, plural, huioi, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a what? What? A son. And if a son, then... Now, here's what you're missing in the text. It's so obvious. In the Greco-Roman world, only one person could inherit. Children couldn't inherit. Ladies, forgive me. In the Greco-Roman world, women couldn't inherit. I don't care if you were the emperor's sister. You couldn't inherit. Your husband inherited. So God, so to speak, he doesn't make us all women and men, but God adopts every single one of you as a son. Why? Because then you have all that Christ inherits. So God not only chooses to adopt us, but God adopts us as sons, adult sons. So you say, what's your inheritance? Every single thing that Christ has, I have. I'm no more a servant, but I'm a son. Yeah, Christy, I lied. We're going to go do the Romans passage. Romans chapter 8, and I don't have time to read it all, so I want to skip. Just look at verse 15, 16, and 17 behind me, if you would. Paul says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You have been adopted again. You have that concept. You've been placed as a son in a family. Wherefore we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. You see, you must be a son in order to become an heir of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Number three. So God chooses to adopt us. Please look at me. Do this. I'll wait till everybody wakes up. I don't care what I preach. Some folks can sleep through it. Wake up, look around. What kind of room does this look like? Normal family or adopted family? It looks like exactly what the scripture says. You're like, this is weird. Where'd all these people come from? Folks, we have people from every place. We have people from Vietnam. We have folks from the Philippines. We have folks from Ilocos Sur. I'm not sure where that's at. Nobody wants to know, but we got at least one from there. We got folks from India. Yes. We got folks from Africa. We got folks from Romania. We have folks from every place. Look at me. We're an adopted family. You know what's nice? God doesn't adopt you as a child where you don't inherit anything. He adopts you as an adult son, and you're going to have everything that Christ has. Everything. You say everybody? Yes, thank you. Everybody gets everything that Christ has. We go back to Ephesians 1. You should already know this. This is obvious, but we'll repeat it because I want you to know and understand adoption. Paul says, having predestinated us, which is simply this, God himself chose to adopt us, unto the adoption of, it should be sons, children in any other category, but it's a technical word here, sons. It's weathesion. It's the placing, you're placed as a son. And then he has that next phrase, by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. God adopts you. God chooses to adopt you. He adopts you as a son. And number three, God adopts you because of his only begotten son. Why are you adopted? Not because of something in you. It's something in him. It's Christ and him alone. I'm going to read these verses. They're not on the notes. In Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Everything comes through Christ. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, it comes through Christ, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in his beloved Son, Christ. Verse 7, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In whom is in Christ. Verse 12, after that you trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted. Everything comes in Christ. Everything. So young person, not so young person, you here this morning, you don't know if you're saved or not. Look at me. There's only one way to get here. Look at me. There's only one way to get here. Through Christ and him alone. Only one path. There are no other doors. There are no other paths. There are no other ways. You come to everything in and through Christ. Yes, God chose to adopt us. Yes, God chose to adopt us as adult sons. But he chose to do so because of his only begotten Son. What he did on the cross for us. I was a pastor in St. Louis. I don't know, Jenny, was it our first year, second year? Two deacons. We only had two deacons at the time. Bob Jones, isn't that a great name? Rick Beats. Bob Jones and his wife and Rick Beats and his wife invited us out to a fancy place. You know where it was at. I don't remember the name of it anymore. It closed not long after. I don't know what we did. They got there ahead of us. And I don't know if you went to be seated, Jenny. I only remember my part in the story. But they were there waiting on a fancy place where you can't just look in there and walk in. They escort you. We got there, And I don't know if we were late. I don't know what the story was. I go to the restroom, but all I know is we didn't know where they were. I said, we're looking for these two guys. The lady took us. She walked us to the down to the table. We get down to their table, and the lady says, are these two guests with you? And one of the guys said this, I've never seen this guy before in my life. For 1 second, it's scary. Yes? You're like, look at me, young people. If you leave here this morning thinking you're a Christian because your mom and dad are here, or because you show up at a Baptist church. By the way, a church doesn't make you any more Christian than going to a garage makes you a mechanic. You say, how do you come to Christ? How do you go to heaven? How do you get in part of God's family? Listen to me. Jesus saith unto him, unto Thomas, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ is the only way to the Father. Everything. Yes, God chooses himself to adopt us. And he adopts us as sons so we inherit everything. But my friend, he adopts us because of his only begotten son. It's through Christ. Everything comes through Christ. Peter says in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Would you turn your Bibles, everybody, to Matthew 7? Matthew 7. I cut out a lot of the sermon so we can read this together. Matthew 7. Now, everybody, before we read, please look at me. I don't ever want to use guilt on anybody for any reason. Guilt is the worst possible motivator. Please look at me, everybody. I want to do a reality check. You're going down to the table, and you really don't know these. You know, you're one of those idiots. When President Obama was president, we had people that would jump the fence, try to get into the White House because they thought they knew him. Because you saw him on television? May I say this to you? You don't go to the White House and jump the fence and think you're going to get in and they're going to give you a meal. You're likely to get shot or at least beat up. Look at me. One day, you're going to stand before God. And this won't be any joking time because you won't have anybody to sit behind. Oh, let me tell a funny joke here. There won't be any of that. Look what it says. By the way, this is Jesus himself speaking. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Then he makes this horrible statement. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils or demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Friday night, I and a small group of friends from the church here, some of them went into sin. I restrained myself very well. We went to a place in Genoa City called Fitzgerald's. When you go to Fitzgerald's, you pay your money up front, and it's a fish boil, Door County fish boil. And what you get is you get a ticket. And they have several levels of tickets. They have one level where you just get fish. Fish, potatoes, bread, coleslaw, and dessert, but you don't get anything but fish. Then you have a notch up, you get fish and chicken, barbecue chicken. And then if you're a pig, you get fish, barbecue chicken, and barbecued ribs. Then they have a fourth level of ticket. It's the lowest level. It's for petite people like me. you just get to smell the three different foods. So when I went through, she said, go ahead and smell. Look at me, friend. When you go up there, you have to present your ticket. Hey, do you know him and does he know you? Or will he in one day say this, I never knew you. I don't know you. Christ is the way. Yes, God himself chooses to adopt us, which is fabulous. God himself chooses to adopt us as sons so we inherit, but he does so through his only begotten Son. Always. Got to have the ticket. Got to have the ticket. Ephesians 1 verse 5 again, please. We're going to look at the fourth concept in this text. I'll probably get emotional again. And Frenchie, this thing is whining more than it ever has been. So let me try this, Frenchie. Now let's see if it whines. You can hear me? Okay, thank you. I'll just stay stationary. Look at Ephesians 1 and verse 5, number 4. And my friend, in some ways, this is the best news. Are you hearing me? I'm going to say some cruel things because the only way you'll understand the text is if you understand its opposite. Paul says this, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. So God himself chose to adopt us. He chose to adopt us as adult sons so we can inherit. He did so by Jesus Christ because of his only begotten Son. And then it has those two little words, to himself. Number four, God adopted us to and for himself. It's a personal thing. It's an intimate thing. We have all seen it. A child from another marriage or relationship. And either the wife has the child or the husband has the child, and then the husband marries another woman or the wife marries another man, and all of a sudden they get together and there's this child that's kind of from one of the relationships, and then that couple has their own children. And sadly, the child from the previous relationship gets treated differently than the child of both of their relationships. The first child from the mom or the dad gets treated, now this is language from where I'm from, as a red-headed stepchild. That must be slang from where we're from. That ain't good. Otherwise, you got the favored kids and you got the red-headed stepchild. Look at me in the eyes. God adopts you to and for himself. There are no red-headed stepchildren. There are no children treated differently. When I see this, I always wonder, do the parents recognize they're doing it? My guess is they do not. I want to read something that I wrote very clearly for me. I always want to keep in mind, Ralph Warren wants to keep in mind for myself this, God didn't have to adopt me. And secondly, he certainly didn't have to make me his own and love me. But God not only adopted me, he adopted me as his own. There's a family in our church that comes from similar circumstances. I have a hard time looking at them. I like both the boys. Preston is smart, very polite, at least around me. And Anderson, I don't even know what planet he came from. When I found out last Sunday that Anderson ran the children's choir by himself, I'm like, who is Anderson? But please hear me. Steve and Emily have their own. Emily has no reason to love those boys. I can't look at them because she loves those boys more than some parents who have their own kids in this church. And every time I look at her, she's loving on those two boys, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Our God doesn't adopt us to leave us as a redheaded stepchild. How about this? We have a mythology. It's called Cinderella, which is what? Dad had a daughter. He remarries. Those children become the important ones. Cinderella's left behind. Our God adopts us. He chooses to do so. He does so as adult children so we can inherit all that Christ has. He does so because of his only begotten Son, but he does so in a way where we're for him and to him. We're adopted for himself. He loves us. By the way, there are no other kinds of children. We're all adopted. And he puts his arm around us all. I see it. I'm going to say it. I can't look at either family. And I know this is not always easy. I want to say to both families, I know this isn't easy for the kids. I've seen it go both ways. But when I see Emily with those two boys and Grumpy Cat loving those kids, I can't hardly stand to watch. I see the same with Army and her two. She has three beautiful daughters, and then she has Keir. Woo! You ought to put Keir and Grumpy Cat and Abu in the same room, and then you have Mia in there too. Whoa! Boy, you walk into K4, there is a lot of energy in that class and a lot of bossy people. Somehow An gets down with them, and they all listen. They don't listen to me. Yes, God didn't have to adopt me, and he didn't have to love me. But God loves me, and he adopted me in that kind of a love that Army has for all four of her kids. It's so beautiful, I have a hard time looking away from it. It's too much. Now, I'm going to talk about me. I didn't adopt either child, obviously. Amy looks just like my wife. Some of you will wake up sometime today. Oh, good grief. When John was young, from when we brought him home from the hospital, I did something that you should do with your children of your own variety. I still look at John, and he's this big oaf now, you know, and 34. He was doing the same thing yesterday with his son that I would do. Put him in his head here, put the boy in the arm. And I'd look at John before he'd go to bed, and I always gave four secrets from birth, first day home. I love you. I'm glad I'm your dad. I'm glad you're my son. I'm glad Jesus gave you to me. Did you hear me? Every day. Dads. And by the way, grandparents, if you didn't do this, it's time for repentance and asking for forgiveness. Get tired of people playing games. I did that with John every day. I still remember the first time I decided to trick him. He was 7 or 8 or 9. Couldn't do this anymore. I said, John, you know what? And he's, what, Dad? I don't really love you. He went. He got me back years later. We're hugging, time for bed. I'm hugging him, telling him, I love you, glad I'm your dad, glad you're my son, glad Jesus gave you to me. And that night I said, I was going to do that. And he looked at me, and just the moment I said, I don't love you, he said, Dad, you have to love me. You're my dad. Look at me. God doesn't have to love you. He doesn't have to treat you like anything. He can treat you like a bug. But our God, out of his amazing love, predestinates us. He chooses to adopt us. He adopts us as adult sons so we can inherit. He adopts us because of his only begotten Son. And he adopts us in a way that we know we're his. There are no special people. Look at me. There's not some kind of hierarchy. The good-looking people at the top and ugly ones at the bottom. Or there's no hierarchy. You know, white folks at the top and blacks at the bottom. We are all loved identically in Christ, and God chose to do that. He adopts us all into his family. My friend, when you come to God, he smiles in the same way he would for any believer because he chose to love you and you like everyone else. Sometimes I think we need to step back. Now, Amy, when she came home, there was an earthquake the day she was born in Chicago. No joke. You say, what did you do from the first day? I love you. I'm glad I'm your dad. I'm glad you're my daughter. I'm glad Jesus gave you to me. I said other things to Amy's that are none of your business. Because I also wanted my daughter to have confidence, guys, and not be a dead. Some people like bobble-headed girls. Never were interested in them. I want my daughter to be smart. I want your daughters to be smart. If you have them around me, that's what I'm looking for. I used to say bad things to her. I still do. My favorite was one day we were driving home together. She was older. She was probably in college. I don't know where Jenny was. Amy was sitting beside me. We're driving into the house. Just as we get to the garage, I say something to her like, you're special, Amy. She just got that big smile. And I said, special Ed. And she had been holding for years. I mean, it didn't take her a quarter of a second. You understand? Right out of her mouth, she said, yeah, Dad, kind of like you're a saint. A Saint Bernard. And if you don't know what a big Saint Bernard dog is, she'd been holding that. Look at me. I wouldn't exchange. Look at me. My relationship with my children, but they're my children. It makes sense that I love my children. You're not God's children, except by. And God loves you. Well, I would say like I love my children, but my love doesn't compare to God's love. No comparison. No comparison. Well, we come to the last concept. And some of you older people that never loved your children and never said it, and I said to repent, I do mean repent, and I mean that this morning. And tonight, you need to be making phone calls. When you fail, here's the best way to have a relationship with the children you failed at. Call them and tell them, I didn't do right. That'll put them back on their feet. I didn't grow up in a home where anybody ever told me they loved me. That didn't mean they didn't. They didn't say it. But that doesn't mean that's the way I have to live. Last concept. Verse 5. We're just going to walk through it. Having predestinated us, ESV will probably say in love, having predestinated us. So God himself chose to adopt us unto the adoption of sons as adult sons so we can inherit. By Jesus Christ, he chose to adopt us in what sense? Because of his only begotten son. Then he goes on to say, to himself. So God adopts us for and to himself in love. And lastly, God adopts us for his own pleasure and for his own reasons. It says, according to the good pleasure of his will. I'm going to close by reading a verse. It does not have anything to do with this, but I just love the verse. And it's out of context, but it's not out of context of the scripture. The psalmist, when talking about the Lord Jesus, said this in Psalm 118:22. The stone which the builders refused, speaking of Christ, is become the headstone of the corner. And then the psalmist says this, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And my friend, there comes a place in your life when you look at this and say this. We can look at salvation from justification, redemption. We've already done the new birth. We've done imputation. Today it's adoption. However we look at this, God begins the process. It starts in God, not us. God chooses to adopt us. He chooses to adopt us as adult sons so we can inherit all things with Christ. He does so because of his only begotten son. He does so far and to himself so we're not put off to the side. He loves us. And he does all of this for his own good pleasure because he wants to. Father, speak, I ask. Bless your word. This is a transformative passage. We not only see a taste of heaven here this morning, we see a family of adopted children. Every single one of us. from the ugly white guy behind the pulpit to the best-looking person in this church, to the tallest person, to the shortest person, to the oldest person, to the youngest person that's saved, we all have been adopted by a loving Father. And I think we should be able to say, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. Men, if you'll come forward. Friends,